Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Welcome, After Buzzers, to the Season 1, Episode 4 Evil Laughter Show. Tonight's motto is fake it till you make it. Stay tuned to find out why.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to After Buzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Happy Thursday, everybody. How are you doing tonight?
Hey.
I'm good. How are you?
A little terrified, to be honest. I feel like I need to go home and pray after tonight's episode.
Right. The whole time we watched it.
She's not scared. I'm terrified. I'm your host, Carla. And to my left here, I have lover of all things horror. She's obsessed with Halloween, Haley.
What up? Hey, guys.
We have Chaos Dre. He's been watching horror movies since he was 4 years old. Insane.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is, but then again, I don't know. I feel like I appreciate that my mom got me started early. So, you know, Hey, it is what it is. And here I am, Chaos J back in the flesh. Let's go.
Awesome. And we have Shantiera. Her dad's a pastor. She's super religious. Perfect person to be talking about this episode tonight. Hey.
It's all about balance.
What's up? Right. We're definitely a balanced group here.
Definitely. Today we're going to be talking about Eric, Kristen's girls, David and Kristen, and Kristen's husband. We have a special segment for you, some news and gossip, and we're going to wrap up with some predictions. But before we do all of that, what were some of our overall thoughts?
Okay, this was by far the scariest episode yet. I loved it. You got the two creepy kids. You see Eric warming up to David. It's like, but who doesn't love David? But he also was, like, using what David was saying, but in, like, not a good way, by trying to drown his baby sister, which was crazy. But I loved it. I'm here for it.
Definitely. What about you?
Okay. No, I'm not even going to make it that deep. No, I saw, or at least for me, there are a lot of different elements within this episode that reminded me of older, I don't necessarily want to say horror movies, some, but not even really horror movies, just more suspenseful thriller movies, one of those being The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin. I don't know for any of my movie buff fans out there that might be up on that one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Exactly. There's just a couple little sprinkles of that in there. I thought it was a great episode, and I don't know, I just, I wanted there to be more. Like, I wish TV shows that are on, you know, like CBS, NBC, and all that, I wish they would play around kind of the same way Netflix does, where, you know, one episode might be 34 minutes, the next one might be 43, or the next one might be, you know, 57, or whatever. I want that, because I feel like there was still so much to unpack with this episode.
Gotta get those commercials in.
I get it. They gotta make that revenue, but I'm gonna need some extended episodes.
What about you, Haley? What are
some thoughts? Love this episode.
Oh my god, you're insane.
Watching you react to it while we were watching it was so funny because I was loving it.
I'm the most scared person here, just so everybody knows. All right, well, let's just jump right in, everyone. Let's start with Eric. So at the beginning of the episode, we see this little boy who is thought to be possessed. So right from the beginning, my question was, Do we think he really was possessed, or do we think the parents got him into believing that he was? Because I feel like all the locks around the house, the way they locked him in the room, the way they acted around him, like, they were genuinely
scared.
Afraid of him.
Yeah.
I feel like that would make someone believe what you're saying.
Yeah, but I think they did all that for a reason, because he was trying to poison them. I mean, he bit his sister, probably trying to kill her. So I feel like it was necessary. But to me, to answer your question, I think that he had a demon inside of him. And I think that each episode, I'm feeling more like, okay, something's going to hit. We're gonna start to see people actually possess. I think they've been setting us up. So I feel like that we probably would have been able to find out. But unfortunately, he died.
I mean, I don't think we know that. I think he might have just ran away. Shantiera, what are you talking about, girl?
He ran away.
But did we see anything that demonstrated, like, demonic possession? I don't feel like I saw that.
Me neither. I didn't see that either.
I mean, we didn't, but I feel like a show like this is kind of like you're kind of like left with
to interpret it on your own.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pretty much, and that's kind of what I interpret. I mean, just the way he was acting, I just felt he had like no emotion. He just seemed like he was just very kind of dead inside.
A part of me kind of felt like maybe he was just like a mischievous little boy that like adrenaline. You know what I mean?
Mischievous. There's a difference between mischievous and murderous.
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I just think he was a little or a lot psychotic. Which happens with some people.
No, I think so, too. I mean, as the episode progressed, at first I really thought, okay, maybe this is just a mischievous little boy who's now being believed to have other problems. But as the episode went on, we saw how crazy things got. He tried to drown his little sister. But I genuinely feel like David did not help the situation at all. His advice was awful. Fake it till you make
it. His advice was terrible.
I literally was like, you're teaching this little boy how to act like a normal human while still having really dark thoughts. Like, you're making him more of a psychopath. Do you think his method was a good one?
I didn't. I agree with you, Haley, that the advice was kind of terrible. I mean, I feel like I get his intentions and his faith, and so I understand that he was trying to, you know, trying to get the boy to think the way he does. Not the boy, Eric. Trying to get him to think the way he does, but I think he just did an awful job with that.
I think it would have been okay if he wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, probably.
But even, I feel like that for me, the minute he drowned his sister, that was when I was like, okay, so this boy is really off. I mean, his face scared me. And by the way, can I just mention, how did that baby live? Because that baby was underwater for a minute.
They were talking for him, and I have no idea. CPR is how he lived.
He was
already in the water
miracles.
When he got there.
Yeah. He was already so I'm like, he was in the water. So this little girl. She was in the water for a long time. So.
Also, where did the parents think the baby was?
What I thought about that was that I feel like he started acting so normal that they thought, like, oh, we don't have to keep such a close eye on him anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he's starting to be just the normal little boy. And they were genuinely happy by that. So they're like, okay, we don't need to keep an eye on him all the time now. So they became a little careless, and then the drowning happened. So he played it smart. He did exactly what David told him to do.
We talked about this. I was like, no, something's about to happen. He's not all of a sudden good. He was mowing the lawn. He was setting them up for them to think that he's changed. And I called it. So that little boy, Eric looked creepy as hell.
I thought he changed.
Was
scared. Too. I was so disappointed.
He's been delivered. What you think?
All right. I need to bring it back because I didn't get to speak on what you said earlier. First off, just jumping into the chat real quick. Shout out to Logan and Bonnie, who's joining us in the live chat. Bonnie was a little freaked out by that Ouija board game. But she's also happy that, you know, Olive survived that attempted drowning. So now what I wanted to touch on was you said that you felt like that the parents kind of exacerbated his behavior by how they were responding to it. And I actually kind of think that's a pretty good theory. Just because kids really do feel, you know, like kids can have all the toys in the world. However, adults, more so their parents than anything, are the best toys to them because we have all the functions. You know what I'm saying? You can have a toy and it can only be limited with what it can do. But with an adult, you can do this and get this kind of reaction. There's so many different things that they can do, triggers, buttons that they can push to get reactions. So to speak on what you were saying about how, you know, they're putting locks on the doors and they're doing all of this, they're kind of, he does one thing and it gets a certain reaction. And again, like I said, some kids thrive off of that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what can I do now to get a different reaction? It's like a surprise. You never know what you're going to get. And by them responding the way they are, which makes sense because you got a kid wilding out and you have other children to keep safe, then yes, I can definitely see putting locks on doors and putting restrictions in place. But at the same time, that's giving him a certain amount of control and power over them to see, like, oh, okay, if I do this, they'll respond this way, or they're scared of me. And so I definitely feel like that definitely did feed into his behavior and probably just, you know, make it even worse than it really was.
With you saying that, do you think because, I mean, we all know that he had an older sister. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe, so he was the baby. But then when the baby came, Olive, he's no longer the baby. And when David or Kristen, one of them asked him, did he enjoy biting his sister in the blood? And he was just like, mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you feel like that he bit his sister.
His older sister.
So, I mean, do you feel like that it was more so, I mean, do you still agree that he was trying to maybe act out for attention or because he just wasn't the baby anymore? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I definitely think, yes, I agree. I do agree. Mm-hmm. If that's your stance. I definitely think that he wants attention and to us, as adults, we don't understand. We're like, why would you want that kind of attention? Like, I don't want, like, you know, for us, we're like, well, if I want someone's attention, I don't want them to be mad at me to get that attention. But for kids, they just want any kind of attention, especially if he's not getting it because his little sister is kind of taking the spotlight. So I definitely think that, yes, it was for attention. And two, I mean, your man's kept it real. He said, I was watching Steven's Universe. She wouldn't stop talking. And I knew that if she was in pain, she wouldn't talk. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that you should bite your little sister. I'm not saying you should bite your little brother. But I understand what he was saying. And again, for that, taking a step back, that's not really something that's evil in a sense. Now, the fact that he said, yeah, I did it and I liked it, that's a little creepy. But just doing something to get your sister or your brother to leave you alone or stop interrupting something you're doing makes perfect sense.
Can I just mention, Logan said Eric was acting like Chucky, and I think that's the funniest thing ever.
No, he was creepy. He was
kind of looks like Chucky, too.
He did an amazing job. Like, he's a great actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor. Because he looked creepy.
All right,
I'm
everyone.
Convinced.
Well, before we move on to our next topic, Haley has a special announcement for everyone.
I just want to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, make sure to hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you give us that 5-star rating and leave us a comment below. We love to interact with you guys.
Thank you so much. Do you have the shout out for us?
Oh, yes. Okay, so just real quick, we're going to go backwards just a tad bit because I love when you guys, you know, leave comments to let us know what you guys think about these episodes because sometimes we miss things. So, Nicole, forgive me for mispronouncing your last name, Nicole Poirier. She had one let me know that, for starters, that the word Iblis, that we were wondering what that meant, is the Islamic version of Satan.
Mm. Ooh.
Okay. Oh, my God.
I feel like we could have looked that up.
That changed
a lot
for me. Knowledge.
Okay. The game has changed. Knowledge bombs. Something.
So I'm going to try to really just shorten this up. She was basically saying that Sebastian was hacking Byron's speaker, and then maybe Byron's pledged his soul to the devil as a prank, and then Byron actually believed his soul to be the devil, and after that, he started interacting with an actual demon through his speaker. And that's why I feel like this boy here, Eric, was possessed. I feel like that each episode, we're going to kind of get a little bit more and more and more. But I was kind of confused. I knew that the IT guy didn't... so I knew the IT guy... I don't think he was messing with him after the fact, but I guess it was hard for me to really think, okay, is it a demon? Is he possessed? Like, I just wasn't really sure. But I appreciate you, Nicole, for letting me know. So, thank you.
Thank you, girl.
Yeah,
you're
thanks.
Amazing.
That is such a game changer for me.
Seriously.
We were so confused last week. Well, on to topic number two, we have Kristen's girls. So they bother me. I hate to say it. These little girls bother me.
I'm with you.
Tell us how you feel.
They all talk at the same time. Your mom is a single mom. You give her a hard time. Like, come on, please. And then they wear these goggles and they go to the one section of the game that they shouldn't be playing. And it's like, aren't you supposed to be afraid? Were you guys scared of horror things at a young age?
Okay, to be fair, little kids don't think of it as like my mom is like single. They're just going to be kids. I'm just trying to give them the benefit of that one. Also, I have the, like,
the VR headset?
It's nothing like that.
But right. I was just going to say, I was waiting for us to get to that part, not to cut you off. But yes, it's... give me one of those headsets.
Because that was not. It looked fun, though. For a second, it looked kind of fun. I want to play this game. Not the Ouija thing, but everything else looked really dope.
I was like, what do kids play with now? Like, I play with Barbies and, like, fake kitchen sets and all these normal things.
Oh, no, they still do. They still do.
Are you sure?
No, they still do.
The technology has definitely changed.
I think it varies from household to household. Yeah, you've got some kids, they've got all the gadgets. Golly whiz bang gadgets. I know I just threw out a bunch of random terms, but you knew what I meant though. So yeah, you've got some that have a bunch of, tablets and phones and this and that. But then you have some kids that, yeah, they still do Barbies. Barbies is still making money. Or Mattel, anyways. So they still play with dolls and all that stuff. And I'm just speaking from, because I have two little girls. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kitchen sets, all of that. Still in full effect. Don't even trip. I think once they get older, then, they kind of want to play with some cool stuff.
Do you think kids that age should have technology like that?
Can I get in on that?
You're a parent, not me.
Which sounds so weird still, even though I've been a parent for a couple years. So, moving along. I personally haven't been a fan of, when people use tablets and technology to pacify their kids. However, I can definitely understand why they do it. I think it's okay in moderation. I read a lot, I research a lot, and they say that it's actually really bad to have, even if they're doing educational stuff, overexposure to games and tablets and watching cartoons actually really, hinders their learning abilities, and it actually thickens some part of the frontal cortex of their brain that inhibits, learning and being able to create different neural pathways to do different things as they continue to develop. So if you ask me, I'm team no electronics except for, here and there on special occasions, and that's kind of low-key what I do anyways.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think so.
I think because of the times everything's so digital, I feel like it's bound to happen. I think that sometimes, those type of games are okay as long as with their age, they need some sort of parental. I can't believe the grandma just gave them that and didn't even, check it out. It's like... Come
the
on,
parenting right. skills on her. Here's the thing. I grew up with, tablets and stuff like that, too. I had an iPhone when I was 11 years old.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, see, no.
Privileged.
Right.
Right? So. I remember when I got a pager, and I was in, and I know I just dated myself right now, but we're not going to go there. But I remember when I got a pager, and I think that was in, junior. You couldn't tell me I was not hot. I had the pager. I had the little clear. It was like a translucent yellow case with the little bungee. And, you know, back in the day, you had to wear it on the front so everybody saw what you was rocking with. Oh, you couldn't tell me I wasn't the business. But that was when I was in high school or whatever. So, anyways, my whole point is that was in high school. You 11 with a phone? Times have changed.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. They don't know anything about, these games. You can't expect them to...
You talking about the parents?
Yeah, especially the grandma. She doesn't know
She just
anything.
Knows that the kids like it, yeah. and she's
like,
a grandma.
Child blocks. Who thinks of that? She has no idea what that is.
She should.
I mean, I think Kristen does what she can, but she's a single mom. She's smart as hell, but she's always busy. So, I kind of understand how they get a hold of it, and then the mom doesn't. Doesn't help the situation. What's so crazy to me, though, is how just... courageous, brave they are. I would never select anything that they did. That Rose character, kudos to that girl.
She was creepy. We had two creepy kids on this episode, and she freaked me out with the face and the... Mm-hmm. And even, when Ben was saying he's going to put on the parental control, and she was just like, it won't help. In that creepy voice, freaked me out.
And then when the Ouija board came out, yes. I was like, oh, God.
I never played with the Ouija board.
I was on board this whole episode.
Look, until that Ouija board
thing came
bless
out.
You, child.
And I was like, okay, no. See, y'all doing way too much.
No.
And for me, having seen movies where, they do pull out the Ouija board and, they're doing it. And they're like, oh my goodness. And, they're pretending as if, because they're acting, I'm sorry, as if their hands are being controlled by some, some spirit. I'm with that. But you virtualizing it? Killed it for me. I'm not rolling.
Yeah.
It was, there was no spookiness to it at all.
Should we also... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, should we also mention, too, that it seemed like that the whatever character that was inside there, I don't know if it was a demon, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like it kind of was messing with Laura a little bit. It was peeking around the corner. So I'm wondering, like, are they seeing different things with the child?
I think Laura is, I want to say possessed, but she has a spirit that follows her, is going to be my prediction.
Okay.
because she's had George, and right. Now when she put the virtual glasses on, or whatever they're called, I don't know, there was, like, an extra spirit that was, like, only on her and it, like, chased her, and it was so real.
Because it was weird that Lila and Lynn, they're the two older ones, so they saw the guy in the bathroom that cut the head, but when Laura and Lexi went in there, they didn't see that. So I'm wondering.
I feel like she can only see real spirits,
and it's because she's the youngest, so she's the most impressionable one.
Ooh, yeah.
Thanks for helping me like talk this out, because I was really confused. It's four, so many of them. So I'm just like, okay, what's happening? Because even when Ben put on the goggles, you notice that the demons, whatever it was, demon, stopped moving. But when they have it on, he's like coming out the Ouija board, and I never played that. I just don't play with that stuff.
Well, I think the next step is to get rid of these glasses, but they're still in the house, so we'll see where this goes.
I want to say, Kristen is tripping, trying to throw those away, return them. Those are expensive. You can't just
get your money back. You can throw away electronics.
I like that. All right, and let's move on to David and Kristen. So we've had a feeling that something's been brewing there, right?
We knew what was coming.
Yeah, we did.
I'm not feeling it, though.
Me neither.
I mean, she is married, but her husband is nowhere to be found.
We'll get into that.
We were talking every day.
Definitely have to talk about that. But are they, though?
They're not.
But then we see David be like, oh, let's go grab a drink. First of all, are you allowed to drink? Does anyone have an answer to this? If you're a priest, are you allowed to drink?
He's not a priest, though.
No, but he's in training to be.
Yeah, he's a PIT.
But you have to understand the time. The time is different now. I mean, these priests are, you know, they...
I don't like that.
I don't like that. They shouldn't be.
See, we can't be judgmental, okay?
Well, see, hold on. Hold on.
Now, we're all wrong now.
Let me weigh in on this. Okay, well, real quick. I'm sorry. Distracted. Squirrel! Logan said, is it weird that the boar didn't creep me out? Logan in the chat, I agree with you. The boar did not creep me out either. Mm-hmm. I think just because, again, for me, the boar was virtualized. It lost all of the stigma that's attached to it and the scariness and all that, because it's virtual. So to me now, I'm just looking at a game. And then the fact that when they spelled out the different word, it was heaven. That's not creepy. Okay, cool.
How do you know about my father?
You never want to think like, oh, my dad's dead. But if I were to find out through a Ouija board that one of my parents or loved ones is that they're dead, and I say, well, where are they? They're down the street? And you're like, no, they're in heaven. Okay, cool. They with Jesus. I'm good. I'm being funny. Okay, obviously I wouldn't be that cavalier about something like that, but I'm just saying the spooky factor would have been them saying something like hell or like stuck in the cave and he's a rotting corpse or something. So again, that the whole Ouija board segment, to what Logan was saying, did not creep me out. But now
David and Kristen. Do we agree with them? Are we on board for this? Because I'll say no.
No.
Yeah, no. I need them to just go ahead and just be work co-workers or whatever.
Yeah, don't make it a pleasure.
But what I was going to say was, and I don't want to make this dark, I know that at least within the Catholic Church and maybe some other religious sects and sects, I'm not saying that right, the SECTS, I know that they are starting to be a little bit more lenient on some of the things that, you know, pastors and priests and stuff can't do. And having said that, I agree with that if you're able to say, hey, look, you can toss back a beer, you can toss back an old fashioned, just don't go crazy with it, cool. If they even relax it to say, look, you're allowed to somehow respectfully date and that prevents other things from happening because those urges are taken care of responsibly, I'm okay with that as well. So I don't have a problem with the PIT.
with the priest in training.
Taking her to go get a little cocktail. As long as he don't pop some pills and start levitating off the bed.
Wow. Then we good.
Then we good.
Yeah, okay. I don't have a problem with it either if it's not, like, against the rules.
I just feel like from what we've seen, he's been experiencing some temptation.
Mm-hmm.
I think with a few drinks in, hanging out with a female is going to put him over the edge.
Yeah, he's playing with fire. Why is he doing this to himself?
You're playing with fire and you're going to get burned. I'm calling it.
With a married woman.
Married woman.
It's a show. You know, they have to have some sort of love in there.
That brings us to Kristen's husband.
Yes.
So he's apparently in heaven. Do we believe the Ouija board?
No.
I don't believe it either. I think they're trying to get into little girl's head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But can I just mention that Lynn and Lexi asked the question that I want to know, like, where's our dad? He should be here. We've been saying that from episode one. Where is he? It's episode four. We have not seen this man.
And Kristen says he's out making money for us, and he sends a sorry-ass check. Do you remember the check was like $800, $500, something like that?
Can you imagine grocery bill every month?
Okay, but hold on, wait. See, as the only man.
You're in private school.
Speak up for yourself.
Okay. What now? Is he... Was that actually really explained? Is he a tour guide? He's a mountain climber, and he takes people on expeditions?
And she used to be as well with him. But then she's like, I had kids, and I had to settle my life down. Which is what the man should have done, if you ask me.
Seriously.
So, I can agree with you, okay? I'm not disagreeing. However, let's not look a check in the mouth. A check is a check is a damn check. If the man only made $500, $800 and he sent it to her, let's not look it in the mouth. Just make it do what it does.
You're missing out on your little girls growing up.
Right.
You're not supporting your wife. And you're just somewhere completely different doing Lord knows what. Are you really mountain climbing?
Also, right, and that's what I want to really talk about.
Where is he at? He's not talking to them every day.
We haven't heard. Have we even heard his voice?
They sent him a message.
I don't agree with this.
Yeah, they sent him a message, and he didn't answer. Of course, because he's probably climbing the mountain.
We've heard this. We've heard where, you know, you might have a family member in jail or something of the sort, and because you don't want to explain that to the child, you're like, oh, you know, he's just at work away, or he's on a ship, or he's this, or he's that. So maybe that's what, for this family, him not being there, he's in Mount Everest. He could have ran off with another woman.
There could be a myriad
of different things that could have really happened to him. I don't think he's dead.
Yeah, me either.
But he definitely is low-key a deadbeat. I agree. I'm just saying, at least he's sending a check. It might not be a big check, but it's still a check.
I think
it depends on what deadbeat means to you.
I think there's different levels to being a deadbeat.
Well, it was really hard seeing her at the end when the little girls mentioned him in the bed, and then she steps aside and breaks down. I feel like you must need your partner.
Yeah.
With that many children. And obviously the little girls miss him too, so.
But I thought she broke down because I think she was thinking about Eric and how the parents killed him. I thought it was because of the absence of her husband.
Oh,
I didn't think about him at all.
I didn't either.
Live chat, let us know.
Yeah,
what do you guys think?
She's surrounded with her children, and then she realized a child has died.
It could be one or the other.
That's just what I took from that. I mean, because I think her even as a mother, just knowing that, which I get it, it's difficult. If your child tried to kill one of your other kids, it's like, what do you do in that situation? I personally would try to kill mine, but...
Damn.
I said I wouldn't. Look, I ain't about that life. I ain't no killer.
But don't push her.
But don't push me.
Hey.
Go ahead, Carla.
I want to go back to that. What did we think about that? Do we think that was the right move for the little boy or for the family?
Hell no.
No.
They should just want to go for my exorcism, I think.
Okay.
What do you think?
Let's do it. Let's go. Chaos time. Okay, so I agree to a certain extent. Yes. Killing him was extreme. That's on the very extreme end of the spectrum of things you can do to keep him calm and from hurting the other kids. However, if you are in a position, and we don't really know what actually happened, and we're not going to know unless they bring it up in a later episode. If you're in a position where you have one child that is wilding the F out, and he is trying to harm your smaller children or just your kids or whoever, and you don't have any other way to stop him, and it's like, if I don't react right now and do something, they're going to get hurt. Depending on what happened, I could see it. I'm not saying this right, but I could see it. If you've got to take, do you want to lose two or three kids or one? You don't want to lose any, but if one of them is a threat, that's like at the end of the day, if I wake up and say my daughter's, you know, running around trying to, you know, stab me and you know, whoever else in the house. You know, say we got a whole house full of people and she's trying to, you know, whatever. If I got to take my daughter down, I got to take my daughter down. I'm just saying, and I love both my girls, but if it comes to a situation, you're like, survival is key. And I'm not going to say, okay, just take me. No, like, if it comes down to them trying to harm multiple people in your household, and you've got to stop them from harming everyone else, and whatever your method is can possibly end up in them being dead.
He said what he said.
I said what I said. So, and again, this is something that, you know, at the end of The Good Son, you know, it comes down to one of those things where they kind of have to pick and choose. So I don't necessarily agree that they should have went that extreme, because they really should have nipped that in the butt long time ago and had that boy in the treatment center when he wilding out trying to drown his sister and biting and putting in, talking about, I want you to feel the liquid bleach and all that.